Lead us, guide us, direct us, O God, in Jesus' name, as we open thy word to study today. We thank thee for thy word, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We thank thee for the incorruptible seed that brings the new birth. So, Father, as I read the word today, speak to hearts through thy word, and save that soul that's nearest hell for Jesus' sake. Amen. Among the last words I said on the radio yesterday, we cannot do anything until God has done everything. And I hasten to say, God has already done everything that God can do to keep you out of hell. When Jesus gave his spirit back to the Father on Calvary, just before he handed his spirit, literally, he committed his spirit to the Father. He literally handed his life back to God. He said, "It is finished." He finished the work that he came to do. And the work that he came to do was to work the work of the Father. And the work of the Father was to make possible redemption, or to make possible that God be just and justify the ungodly. Read Romans chapter 3. Now, Jesus did everything that he could do. The Father has done everything that he could do. And now it's up to you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing, have life eternal. Now, when I say God has done all and Jesus has done all, what do I mean? I'll point out several scriptures as time permits. Get your Bible and we'll study them together. First of all, in Hebrews 2:17, we read these words. "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Now, beloved, Jesus was not only the Lamb of God that laid his life down on Calvary that we might be redeemed from the penalty of sin, but he was more than the Lamb of God in that he was a merciful and faithful high priest. Now, don't misunderstand me. He was the Lamb without spot or blemish. But he was the Lamb to be slain. He is our great high priest, our mediator, that lives forever to make intercession for us. So, first of all, it behooved Jesus, wherefore in all things it behooved him, to be made like unto his brethren, that is, like unto you and to me, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So first of all, he was made like unto us. Now listen, dearly beloved. Listen very carefully. I pointed this out earlier in the series. God is a spirit. God is an eternal spirit. And the triune sovereign God cannot be tempted with evil. Now you read James chapter 1, begin with verse 5, and read right on down through verse 17 in that chapter. And you'll read some very interesting scripture. And you'll discover that God cannot be tempted. God cannot be tempted. But I read in Hebrews 4:15 that Jesus, our great high priest, was tempted. Hebrews 4:15. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points. Now, hear these words, because they are important words. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Let me read the verse again. I'm reading Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15. "For we have. It doesn't say we did have or we will have, but we have right now, present tense. We have an high priest which cannot," let me read it correctly now. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Now, he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Watch it. "But was in all points," A-double-L, all points. I said, Jesus did all. I said, God did all. Now listen to me very, very carefully, because I must weigh these words. I'll give an account to God for these words. I speak them in fear, but I speak them without hesitation. God Almighty, Jesus Christ, has done everything that God and Christ can do to keep you out of hell. Now, it is finished, And if you'll receive Jesus, then the transaction is complete and you are a child of God and you possess eternal life right now. All right, he was made in all things like unto his brethren, that he might be tempted in all points as we are, but hallelujah, he did not sin. Now, turn to Romans chapter 8, and we'll read another very interesting portion. In Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation which are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? You say, I don't know. Then the most important thing in all the world is for you to find out right now, not tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Find out right now, this very moment. There is therefore now no condemnation in which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now the reason we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, we are in Christ. And in Christ we walk after the Spirit. Oh yeah. Verse 2. For the law, now this is Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. Now, did you read that little word, F-R-E-E? Do you see it? Hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. I'm free. I'm free from the law of sin and the law of death because Jesus set me free. Now, verse 3, this is Romans 8, 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, I've said this so many times. God's law is holy. God's law is perfect. God's law is powerful. And it was not the weakness of the law, but the flesh. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, just like sinful flesh, yes, but not sin. Jesus never sinned. He never sinned. There was no guile in him. He did no sin. He bare our sins in his own body, and he nailed them to his own cross. But in him there was no sin. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. All right. Now then, first of all, Jesus was made like unto us in all things. He took a body exactly as our body. He was made of flesh. He was God in flesh. Second Corinthians 5:19. He was God in flesh. I'll read that in a moment. And then in Hebrews 4:15, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet Jesus never sinned. Tempted in all points as we are, yet he never sinned. Now, I'd like to enlarge upon that. You say, Brother Green, do you mean to tell me now, I'm using this as an illustration. You say, preacher, I drank liquor. You mean to tell me that Jesus was tempted to drink liquor? Somebody else says, preacher, I'm a gambler. I'm a habitual gambler. Do you mean to tell me that Jesus was tempted to gamble? Preacher Green, I am a habitual blasphemer. I curse all the time. Was Jesus tempted to curse? Listen, beloved. There are only three ways the devil can tempt a man. I mean, there are only three avenues through which temptation comes. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, you read in 1 John 2, 15, 16, and 17. 1 John 2, 16, this is the epistle. 17 and 15, 16 and 17, you'll discover that all that is in the world, all, everything that is in the world, everything worldly, everything of the flesh comes under those three headings. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. The flesh, the eye, and the pride of life. Now Jesus in Matthew 4, we have the record. Jesus was tempted through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The devil said, change stones into bread. Now, the flesh craves bread. The spirit does not live on bread. Jesus was hungry. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He had had no bread, no drink. He was thirsty. He was hungry. The devil said, if you're the Son of God, change these stones into bread. There's the lust of the flesh. Hunger. Hunger. All right. So he took him upon the pinnacle of the temple and said, jump off, it won't hurt you. His angels will bear you up. There's the pride of life. Pride of life. Jump off. You'll be an outstanding person. You'll be a great, famous hero. Jump off. That's the pride of life. Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, He took him upon a high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms. And Luke tells us that the devil said, these are mine to give. And Paul tells us that he's the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this age. You'll read that in 1 Corinthians 4, 3, 4, and so on. And you'll read it in Ephesians 2. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this age. And he said to Jesus, these kingdoms are mine. And they're mine to give to whomsoever I will or I wish. Now the devil said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. And there's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. He saw all the kingdoms, the pride of life. He would not jump off of the pinnacle. And then Satan, he said, get thee hence, Satan. And Satan left him, and angels came and ministered to Jesus. Now listen to me. Jesus was tempted in every single solitary iota that you can be tempted. In every way, in every iota of temptation, every way you can be tempted. Jesus suffered every temptation, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. But he never sinned. He never sinned. He was the sinless one, yet he faced every sin that you or I or anyone will ever face. Now listen to this. We read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, for he hath made him, God, made Jesus, for God hath made Jesus to be sin. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin, that we, you and I, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, I said, God has done all. I said, Jesus has done all. Now, listen very carefully. God, and I could read in Galatians 3:13, if time permitted, we could just use the entire broadcast right here. In 3:13, Jesus was made, M-A-D-E, made a curse. He didn't become a curse by living a cursed life. Are you listening carefully to what I'm saying? Jesus did not become a curse by living a sinful, cursed life. He didn't live a sinful life. He did not live a cursed life. He was made, M-A-D-E, made a curse for us. Jesus did not become a sinner. He did not live in sin. He did no sin, but he was made sin. He was made sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was made all of this for us. He was made like unto his brethren. He was made in the flesh. And he was tempted at all points. As we are tempted, yet he never sinned. Jesus did all. He did all. Now then, not only was he made like unto us, not only was he made in the flesh, not only was he made a curse, not only was he made sin, and not only was he tempted in all points as we are, but he gave his life a ransom for many. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, we read that Jesus came not to be ministered unto, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus gave his life. He gave his life. In John 10 and verse 17 and 18, Jesus declares that no man can take his life. No man did take his life. Jesus laid his life down. And I read in John 10, and here's what he said. John 10. Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment received I from my Father. Now, in the preceding verse, that's verse 17, Jesus said, my Father loves me. My Father loves me because I lay down my life for the sheep. He said, I lay it down to take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down on myself. Now, he came to give his life a ransom. He gave his life a ransom. He laid his life down. And in so doing, he paid sin's wages. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. James 1, when sin is finished, it brings forth death. But Jesus gave his life a ransom. He laid his life down. Therefore, he satisfied the wages, the demands of sin. Now I'm reading in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 and following. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Paul said, I'm preaching the gospel, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. By which you are saved. The gospel, beloved, not only brings the message of salvation, not only presents the message of salvation, but the gospel is the power of God, the incorruptible seed. Now read on. Through which you're saved, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all. Now watch it. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and so on, and then above 500 brethren. Now then, Jesus not only took a body like our body, made in all things as we are, made in flesh, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, made a curse, made sin. Not only did he give his life a ransom, not only did he pay sin's wages, but he died and was buried according to the Scriptures. But death could not hold him. He rose again the third day, and now he sits at the right hand of the Majesty to make intercession for all who will believe on his name and trust in his shed blood and finished work. Now let me say this, and of course, I'm getting a letter or two every day. I get one or two. Of course, that's a very, very... I told Mrs. Green the other day when she gave me one of the letters of criticism, I said, well, we ought to thank God when we reach every state in the Union, Canada, Mexico, and several other islands. We should be thankful that we do not get more letters of criticism, because there is a great host of people of many religions listening to my voice right now. But I'll get a letter or two tomorrow, next day, and they'll say, Brother Green, I heard you make the statement, and I don't believe it. It's not enough. Here's what I mean. Beloved, the sin debt has been paid, and it doesn't make a difference what you do. If you give your body to be burned, the question, because it's paid. The wages is death. Jesus died. He died according to the Scripture. He gave his life a ransom. The ransom is paid. The sin debt is paid. He was tempted in all points as we are. He never sinned. He was made a curse. Sin is a curse. He was made a curse. He was made sin, and he nailed our sins to the cross. He conquered the world, the flesh, the devil, death, hell, and the grave. And he sits today at the right hand of God. And here's what I want to say today. All that you can do, all that anyone can do, all that anyone has ever done, or ever can do, or ever will do, to be redeemed from the curse of sin, and from the wages of sin, all anyone can do is receive the gift of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son, even to them that believe on his name, which were born of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now. He'll save you, because he has done all. And all that you can do is receive his finished work. He's ready to save you. He will save you, if you'll receive him by faith right now. Father, honor the precious word, the name of Jesus, the shed blood, and save every soul that's calling upon your precious name right now. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.